Good afternoon, guys. I hope you're well. So very quickly, I'm going to set the scene for you. It's the 30th of December 2019. Will has just gone down for his nap. So if you hear the monitor clicking in and out during this chat, I do apologise and we might have to cut things short. And likewise, you'll probably hear my phone buzzing throughout as well. So I do apologise, but you know, mum life and all that. The reason I want to do these chats is to talk about different subjects within the cleft lip and palate condition. And the first thing that I want to go back to is actually what a cleft is, why a cleft occurs, and kind of different bits and pieces that I think are worth talking about. Quick disclaimer, I'm not medically qualified. I don't have any training in the condition. I'm not a speech and language therapist, et cetera, et cetera. However, having been born with a cleft myself, having had the diagnosis in pregnancy, and now having my son Will that was also born with the condition, hopefully I can bring some sort of advice to you that's, you know, relevant to me and then therefore relevant to the chat. So I just want to start our first chat in relation to what a cleft actually is. So a cleft lip and or palate occurs during really early pregnancy. So we're talking around week five, week six of gestation. And as far as I'm aware, the face actually forms over a period of time. So unlike organs or other bits and pieces, they're not there one day and they're there the next. The face actually forms over a slow period of time. And what a cleft actually is a split or a gap in the top lip and or palate. And whilst I was kind of typing out my notes and things, I kind of thought I should probably tell you that it is the top lip. Now, I've never ever come across anybody that's got a cleft bottom lip, although I'm sure in medical history, in the depths somewhere, I'm sure someone has had an issue with their bottom lip. But as far as I'm aware, it's normally the top lip that's affected. If you know any different, do let me know. And you get what's called a unilateral cleft lip. And that just means there's one split or gap along the top lip, often under one side of a nostril or the other. And then you get what's called a bilateral cleft, which basically means two splits on the top lip. And often you'll find those splits come under each nostril. And then you often have a central part of the top lip left, which is formed. And that having sort of been involved with orthodontists and things, that's the central part of the lip is called the prolabium. Just for a little bit of general knowledge for you there, in case you ever get a question at a quiz, you just never know. So a cleft palate can range from anything from a tiny little hole in the top of the palate to essentially no palate at all. And if you're not sure what a palate is, that is the roof of your mouth. And throughout this chat, you'll probably hear me reference a hard palate, which is the front part of the roof of the mouth, and that aids feeding. And you have your soft palate, which is further towards the back of the mouth, which helps with speech. So if you run your tongue from the back of your teeth all the way back to towards your throat, you'll feel like it goes from a hard sort of surface into a soft surface. I hope that kind of makes sense. It does to me in my brain, but hopefully that comes across to you as well. Whether it's a tiny small hole in a cleft palate or essentially no roof of a mouth at all, both are equally valid. Both come with their stresses and surprises. So, and again, I'll probably reference it later on. A cleft lip and or palate ranges in severity. So it's kind of, there's no sort of like 1 to 10, but you'll see a cleft that might not be as severe as somebody else's. It's very, very individual, but all are equally as important to acknowledge. So a cleft is the most common craniofacial defect worldwide. So it affects 1 in 700 babies in the world. And again, having done a bit of research, I think that technically means like a baby every 3 minutes is born with some type of cleft. Now, some places in the world, which I haven't actually done my research on, the statistic goes up. So that means you may find one in 500 babies is born with a cleft. And likewise, in other areas of the world, the statistic will grow to something like one in 800. So it is actually a very, very common condition. And actually, a baby can have a cleft lip, a cleft palate, or both. So again, like I said, it's very individual. And just because you have one doesn't necessarily mean you'll have the other. To this day, nobody actually knows what causes a cleft. If you do know, do let me know. So what in turn that kind of means is that you can't prevent it from happening. You can't reduce your risk in it happening, the chances of it happening. And they just kind of say it's genetics and it's environmental factors. So I know from when I was born, the medical professionals questioned my mum having had a cold during early pregnancy and possibly that was a contribution to the cleft. I know that I've spoken to mums that were advised because they'd eaten sushi in pregnancy, that had caused the cleft. People talk about smoking and drinking and not taking folic acid as a component as to why a cleft might occur, but actually you can't say this is what causes a cleft and therefore avoid it to avoid a cleft, which is really, really unfortunate because it just means that it might just happen anywhere. In reference to that, I mean, prior to me being born, there's no one in my direct family that had a cleft. It's just that I came along and decided that I was going to be slightly different. Unfortunately, the knock-on effect for us has been then that Will has been born with a cleft. So obviously that's where they then say that genetics will play a part. However, when I did my research again, the chances of me passing on a cleft to Will was between 2% and 8%. So actually that's still very, very low percentages. And chance of me passing on. Now that I've had a child with a cleft, the risk of another child with a cleft being born to our family is higher. Anyway, I digress slightly. So to summarize, if you know what causes a cleft, let me know. But I do think there's lots of research going on to try and establish why the condition occurs, why we've had it in history for so, so long, and obviously what we can look to do to prevent it from happening, if that ever is a possibility. So generally, the cleft is established and found during the anomaly scan. And I think that's around week 20 of pregnancy, I think. At this point, it's normally only the lip that's identified. It's very rare, again, as far as I'm aware, that a cleft palate can be identified. Because if you think of what you can see on a scan, there's only so much that they can see, although they can obviously see a lot. But if a cleft lip is identified, then obviously they talk about the possibility of a cleft palate and discuss those things with you. Maybe I should go back a little bit, actually. Although normally a cleft is found around the 20 weeks, we actually found out at week 13 of my pregnancy. Because I had a bleed, the NHS weren't concerned about the severity of the bleed, but this was my first pregnancy, my first baby, and we paid for a private scan, and it was within that private scan that the cleft was identified. And again, this is why I think genetics play a part, because the sonographer actually offered that to me. So he did a well-being check just to make sure that the baby was okay, and then he said, would you like me to look for a cleft? Which kind of took me by surprise, because I hadn't even considered that a baby of mine would be born with the same condition, especially because no one's ever said there is a high chance, there is a possibility. It just never occurred to me, which is probably a bit silly, really, but there we are. So like I said, because we actually had a private scan, this meant that the referral onto our cleft service, we had to go via the midwife to refer on. And I'm sure that if people have the diagnosis during their anomaly scan with their NHS scan, the sort of information fed to the cleft team is a lot more smooth than what ours was. However, we did speak to our cleft nurse within a couple of days of diagnosis. So it was still a fantastic sort of follow-up from them, which is great. So during the scan, And I know from my experience, the sonographer was actually quite embarrassed to discuss the possibility of a termination with me. Having got a cleft myself, I could see that he was quite uncomfortable, but people have to know what their choices are. And I have no judgment if somebody chooses to terminate in regards to a cleft. Everybody has the right to their decisions, and you know, I'm very much pro-choice. But when I started doing some research, I did come across the National Government of Statistics for the UK, and it does state that in 2018, there were 38 abortions for cleft lip and palate. And that's just something that I found and thought was interesting, especially considering how many babies are born in the UK, which again, I think from memory, it's something like 2,500, 3,000 babies that are born in the UK with a cleft. So actually 38 terminations out of that is a very, very low statistic. But I'll kind of bypass that because I know that terminations are quite a provocative subject. So let's move on from that slightly. So what can a cleft affect? Early on, a cleft can affect hearing, speech, feeding, and dental work as the baby starts to grow. Some children, however, like I've said, there, everybody's an individual. Some people may have no issues whatsoever. So for example, when I was born, I never had any hearing issues. I passed all my hearing tests. I didn't have any feeding problems, although I was fed with a special feed bottle. I didn't actually have any issues to start with. And I only actually had 3 speech and language sessions before being discharged. Will, however, obviously he's only had a certain amount of input so far, but he's had repeated hearing tests because he wasn't sort of hitting the right sort of markers that they were expecting. However, so far now they're happy with his level of hearing. And he was unable to bottle feed, which is something that I'll discuss in a different chat. But, you know, from very early days, he had a nasogastric feeding tube and he was cup fed from 17 weeks. So, you know, there's lots of different elements that a cleft can affect. It can also affect and increase chances of associated conditions. So you've got PRS, you've got chances that the heart may have issues or kidneys. But again, in these scans, the sonographers are so thorough. And actually, none of these conditions or, you know, sort of potential problems are guaranteed or definite. So unfortunately, again, you can't say because you've got that, you may have that. It's just everything's a possibility. Obviously, as you then look later on in life, you've got issues around self-esteem and confidence due to people's feelings about their own appearance or how people have made them feel. And then obviously the potential of bullying. And people, let's be honest, can be quite cruel. So there's obviously those other issues later on in life that are worth considering. Treatments for cleft. You've got your lip and hard palate repair, which is generally your first operation. And that happens, again, this is all very much what I've heard and what I've researched. The ideal is to do that operation between 3 and 6 months old. And that is just obviously because the hard palate, like I've said before, is to help with feeding. The sooner that's done, the easier things get. You then have the soft palate repaired at a later date. And again, I think the ideal is to do that before 12 months old, because that's before the baby will start talking. And then you have a bone graft around, I think they've said to us, especially between sort of 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And I think that's all to do with the adult teeth. And a bone graft is essentially where they take a bit of bone out of your hip and put it behind your front teeth. And that's just to help stabilize things. Both Will and I have had the lip and hard palate repair. Both had the soft palate repaired. I've obviously had my bone graft, and that is something that Will will have done as well. And as far as I'm aware, it's those 3 operations that are the standard clinically necessary for a cleft. Later on, as the baby starts to grow, there may be issues with the palate. So you can have things like palate lengthening procedures, which For speech reasons, if the palate can't quite close off, that may cause issues with speech. So they can actually lengthen the palate. Fistula repairs, which is a fistula, is a hole in the palate. So Will has a fistula, and that basically means that when he's eating, liquid or food can come out of his nose. And I actually had a fistula until I was 10 years old, until I had my bone graft. So it was definitely a party trick that I could push out liquid, hot chocolate especially, out of my nose. So it's just one of those things that all the health professionals and the CLEF team, they'll keep an eye on things and obviously start tweaking things as they need to. And then beyond that, non-medical procedures, or what they might class as cosmetic procedures, like rhinoplasty, and now I don't know the medical term for this, but jaw-breaking surgery. So when I looked at non-medical procedure, I'm saying non-medical, that doesn't make sense, does it? But let's say cosmetic. So to improve my side profile, when I looked into it, they said to me that I would have to have both jaws broken, so top and bottom jaw broken and pushed forward to improve the appearance of my side profile. I didn't actually go ahead with it, but these are all things that the CLEF service recognise that people may want to look into, in case things are affecting their mental health and well-being, whether that's, you know, because of what other people are saying, or it's a personal feeling about the appearance, and the CLEF team recognise that that may be what, you know, a route that somebody needs to go down to actually feel good about themselves. And all of these procedures can still be done on the NHS, which is absolutely amazing. And that's why you can kind of dip in and out of CLEF services. You obviously transition from, what do you call it? Pediatrics, young CLEF service. And then they do have a specific adult service as well. Now, a CLEF obviously affects the individual. It affects the direct family, whether that's mum and dad or just mum, or, you know, siblings as well. I think it's important to acknowledge that they, you know, can often be sort of pushed towards grandparents to be looked after if baby's got to go and have a, you know, an appointment or some surgery. So it does have an impact on the direct family, and obviously affects the wider family and circle of friends, because the parents have such a mental battle with everything that goes on, because you're not only dealing with the physical element of a CLEF, but the guilt that particularly myself as a mother carries because of Will having a CLEF, you know, and the concern and the worry, and, you know, around operations. And then where I've said that Will didn't feed very well, then, you know, that was a massive, massive stress for us. So it does have, a CLEF definitely comes with its issues, but it's not life-threatening, which is just, you know, obviously you couldn't ask for better in relation to that. And the support from the NHS in the United Kingdom is just second to none. We are so, so lucky to have such a service. But I also think that, you know, generally in society, we need to acknowledge that a CLEF, although it's a medical, physical condition, it can have an impact on mental health as well. So I think opening up conversation, talking about it, being informed and educated around it can only benefit everybody. Anyway, that's me done. I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have any comments or questions, then obviously let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to pop off for a little coffee. And I hope you've enjoyed. I hope I've given a bit of an insight to everything. So yeah, cheers, and I'll see you very, very soon.